This is All Sides with Ann Fisher. I'm Mike Thompson sitting in for Ann today. It was a passionately brutal weekend in downtown Columbus.
This is the Frank County Sheriff's Office. Clear the area.
For four straight days and nights, hundreds of protesters converged on the State House and other areas of downtown to denounce the Minneapolis police killing of George Floyd, as well as what they feel are years of injustice on the part of police in Columbus and everywhere around the country when it comes to how they treat people of color.
I care about my people. I care about the injustices. And we got to stand strong. We're not here to cause no problems or no issues or anything like that. We're here because everyone needs to be held accountable.
But there were problems and issues. While most of the demonstrators were loud but peaceful, there were many problems. Some set fires, others broke businesses, windows, and looted stores. On some blocks of high streets, storefronts feature more plywood than glass. To disperse the crowds, police used pepper spray, tear gas, and non-lethal projectiles. Police arrested dozens of protesters. This hour on All Sides, we look at what happened and where we go from here. Joining us now is Shannon Harden. He is president of Columbus City Council. Council President, welcome to All Sides with Ann Fisher.
Mike, thank you so much for having me on this morning.
Let me start with your tweet, your statement you released over the weekend after you were down there. We'll get to that in a moment. But I'm just going to quote it because it's pretty powerful. You write, "I'm angry and frustrated. Today I saw with my own eyes that 99% of protesters were trying to make their voices heard. Individuals in the crowd were trying to take advantage of the situation," you write. You write, "You also saw police going too far, and that's unacceptable." You continue, "The time for commissions and studies is over. The time to institute real police reform is now. Columbus needs to establish independent investigations into police use of force, including negotiating a civilian review commission into the next police contract." Dust has settled a little bit. Your eyes have probably recovered from the tear gas. Mr. Harden, do you stand by that statement?
100%. I'm more determined now than ever that, you know, over the last weekend, what started with George Floyd came through Columbus, and folks have made this local, and it's made this about how we can create real meaningful change right here in Columbus. And, you know, I believe that it is time that we really focus on what we have already done. I was talking to one of our community organizers, one of the activists that has rallied in this community for many years, and what she said is, "Shannon, look, we've already done the hard work. We brought together the police and the activists and the business community and faith leaders, and we sat down at a table and came together and put together 80 recommendations for how we can move forward." And the good thing on the bright side is that our new police chief has started to institute some of those recommendations, but there are several still right there in the report that we must act on. And top of mind for me is a civilian review board. We need to make sure that there is oversight of policing in Columbus. And, you know, this is what is important, Mike, is that we have great police officers in this city. I have family members that are police officers. They are doing admirable work. But for us to continue to have the trust and the respect of our populace, of our people, we need to make sure that police are have the oversight that every other department, every other elected official would have, and having some type of civilian review board that engages with the police would just make us all safer.
We're talking with Shannon Harden, president of Columbus City Council, here on All Sides with Ann Fisher. If you'd like to join the conversation, our number is 614-292-8513, or you can email us at allsides@wosu.org. Let's get to the protests this weekend. In particular, you were caught on Saturday. You, along with Congresswoman Joyce Beatty and Kevin Boyce, were caught by some pepper spray as a little disturbance occurred across from the State House on the sidewalk. What happened?
Yeah. Well, so Congresswoman Beatty, Commissioner Boyce, and I had been down at the rally for probably 45 minutes to an hour. We were actually on the side most of the time of the State House, and we were working with police officers that were on bikes as they rode up next to the curb to tell folks to stay on the curb. And so it was very peaceful. The police officers would ride by and say, "Thank you, Council President," because we were just assisting in keeping folks on the sidewalk who were protesting peacefully, but there were a lot of folks out there, so they were spilling over into the sidewalk. Once we had, got to the corner of Broughton High, everybody on the sidewalk, we crossed the street onto the west side of High Street, and we once again started telling folks, all right, stay on the sidewalk. You can chant, you can say whatever you want, but just make sure you're being, that you're staying on the sidewalk. That was the extent of unruliness, was step up on the curb.
Yeah.
And I think what happened, and I saw it, a new group of police officers came up. Maybe they didn't recognize that I was council president, and there was a congresswoman. But within 30 seconds, it was a flash of the light. Things turned on a split hair. So we were right in the middle of that. Most of the time, our back was to the police officers, because again, we were talking to the protesters, telling them to stay on the sidewalk. And I got pepper sprayed. Congresswoman Beatty got some in her face. But this is an important thing. My message before the protest and my message while my eyes were still burning after the protest is that the only way for us to get meaningful change is for peaceful demonstration and for us to lift the issues and give space for the issues that we all see are need work, that we're able to come together. I've been saying over the weekend that we need to get to a table so that we can talk about these things, like a civilian review board, talk about how we do crowd disbursement. But we can't get to the table if the table's flipped over and on fire.
Well, that's my point. How did you experienced an incident there, and a lot of the criticism is that the police came in ready for a fight, wearing the tactical gear right away, instead of letting the protesters protest peacefully, even block streets peacefully. Did the police overreact this weekend? Or because of the damage to businesses, did they appropriately respond?
So let me say this. We have asked so much of our police officers over the last four days. They, too, are tired. They, too, are exhausted. I was talking to a police officer who said she went in at 8 a.m. on Friday and got home at 4 a.m. on Saturday morning. And then we asked them to come right back out. And so folks are exhausted, but so are the community members who are out peacefully protesting. And so when tensions are that high, that's when the training has to kick in and make sure that our use of force in terms of de-escalation is at the right place. And so, the instance that I was involved in, yes, I can say, because I saw it with my own two eyes, that there was too much force. But I had been out there for an hour before, and police were using very appropriate force. Mm-hmm. And so I think that, and certainly later in the evening, and that's why I've always supported the mayor's curfew. I've supported bringing in the National Guard. We have to give our police officers some rest, and so that they can get back out there and police with their best, I was talking to the police chief the other day, and he said that sometimes we judge people by their worst day, but judge ourselves by their best intentions. And he was quoting a former president. We all need to get back to our best days. Mm-hmm. And make sure that our intentions are what they are, and they are pure. Both police, both city leaders, and both most of our protesters, and certainly our community, that we want a safe community that is an equitable community that acknowledges that structural racism is real, and that we will roll up our sleeves and we will do the hard work to get it done.
When it comes Council President, when it comes to how you prepare, one more question on the demonstrations, then we'll get to the bigger issues of getting to the table and healing the divide. But yesterday, Sunday, it was calmer downtown. A lot of people say it was calmer because police were less present than they were. There was fewer in number, and they were in basically their regular uniforms. Now, I look back at dozens and dozens of pictures of the State House protests during the shutdown, where crowds of mainly white people were there. There was hundreds of people some days. Many of those men were carrying rather large weapons. And I could not see one officer in riot gear at those protests. Why do police officers show up in riot gear for protests of young people and African-American people of color in riot gear, but not for folks carrying AR-15s?
Well, Mike, I can only speak to, you know, I think that's why it was important that I was down there on Saturday, because I saw it with my own eyes. By the time I got there on Saturday, we had already had two evenings before that of unrest. And yes, 99% of the folks were peaceful, especially at the rally that I was at 10 a.m. on Saturday morning. But we do know that at nighttime, the nights before, that this small segment of folks, and we believe that they are coming from out of town and they are not part of our...
Do you have evidence of that, Council President Hardin? Do you have direct evidence that folks are coming in from out of town and causing this trouble?
What I do know for sure, Mike, is that there is a organizing community that, I don't know if folks remember 2 years ago when organizers took over council and stood on my desk at City Hall. There is there is an organizing community that is here in Columbus, and what they are telling me that the folks that are doing the violence and the folks they have never seen before and they don't know, and that is not them.
The police arrested, I think, close to 60 people on Saturday. Do you have the names and addresses of those folks, and do they indicate that they're out from outside the area?
I'm not sure. I don't have that information right now.
I know, just because there's a lot of rumors out there about you know Antifa and white supremacist groups coming in to agitate folks, and I just wanted to make sure that if that's happening, bring it to light. But if it's not, and it's just rumors on the internet, dispel those rumors.
I think that's a fair question. I think what is true is that we have a majority, an overwhelming majority of the community that is peacefully protesting, want to demonstrate, want to have their voices heard. They and what we have to do is have to separate the faction that does want to bring destruction, does want to cause harm to police officers and to the rest of our community. We need to separate the two and be very clear that it's not acceptable and it won't be tolerated. It will not be tolerated. And I've heard that from our organizing community as well. But certainly we have to have a level of safety and a level of order so that we can get to the table to talk about some of these changes.
Speaking of getting to the table with the police, because the contract is up at the end of this calendar year and any civilian review board would have to be negotiated with them, I would assume. We've asked the police chief to come on today. He's busy and unavailable. We also asked for representatives from the Fraternal Order of Police to come on. But let me read what Keith Farrell issued over the weekend, in particular with regards to how city officials were responding to this. He writes, "While officers are bound to protect the citizens and downtown property, city officials have made the situation much worse. City leadership has and still has the opportunity to help calm the situation and has instead created more tension, showing little of any concern for the impact on businesses and residents." Can you, after this weekend, can you sit down with officers and get them to agree to a civilian review board?
You know what, Mike? I've been on the phone with police officers all weekend, individual officers, folks who are the best people that I know that have worked in the division, that put their life on the line day in and day out to protect this city that we love. I will work every day to make sure that they are as safe as possible and that they are policing a community that is more just and more civil, and outlines and calls out structural racism, and that means that calling out and identifying how we can make our police department better. Being better does not mean that we're not good, and we are going to have to focus in, and we're going to have tough conversations. But that's the only time. That's the only way that change happens is when we bring folks together. And so, you know, I'm committed to this work, and I know that there are a lot of police officers that are committed to it as well.
One more question, then we'll let you go. You know, there's a lot of talk. We always hear it when we're building a new building or a new park or a new soccer stadium, for instance, that it's the Columbus way. We can get things done. We all work together, and we can do great things in a short amount of time, like, for instance, when we save the crew and launch the new stadium. Have we used the Columbus way enough when it comes to race relations in the city, and can we use it better going forward?
You know what? I think that's an excellent question, and that's why I'm more hopeful now than ever before, because if any community can fight structural racism, it is Columbus. This has been a hard and long weekend for me, but I have not shouldered this. I have not one time felt like this is just on my shoulders. This is on all of us. This is on our media. This is on the business community. This is on elected officials. This is on protesters. This is on police. These are people at home of goodwill. Just an example of that, tonight at council, we are going to put forward by my Councilmember Priscilla Tyson, a resolution that declares racism a public health initiative. I just received in my email a letter signed by 750 business leaders in Columbus that say that we support this initiative. We support this work to fight structural racism. That, sir, is the Columbus way. We stack hands. We address the issue, we identify it, and then we come together to solve it. And I don't believe that this will be any different. We have work to do. It will be tough. It will call on all of us. But when we are able to sit at a table, when we're able to come together, we will be able, if any community can do it, it's Columbus.
Thanks very much, Janet Harden, president of Columbus City Council. We're glad you're safe, and we look forward to better days ahead, we hope.
Most definitely. They are coming.
Thank you very much. When we come back, we'll talk more about what happened this weekend, where we go from here with two African-American leaders when All Sides continues here on 89.7 NPR News. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher. I'm Mike Thompson, sitting in for Ann Fisher today. Of course, we are talking about the events of this weekend. Hundreds of protesters converged on downtown Columbus starting on Thursday night. The protests continued Friday, Saturday, and yesterday, and there is fear that the protests will continue today. Columbus police have blocked all vehicle traffic from coming into downtown Columbus. You cannot drive into downtown Columbus unless you have a work ID or an official reason for being there. So police are preparing for more issues tonight. And joining us now to talk about this weekend and the deeper issues behind this weekend's protests is Nana Watson, president of the Columbus chapter of the NAACP. Nana, welcome to All Sides.
Thank you so much.
And
looking forward to a great conversation.
Well, we're glad you're here. Thanks very much for joining us. And also Sam Gresham, longtime African-American leader in Columbus, former head of the Columbus Urban League, and now an advocate for fair elections with Common Cause Ohio. Sam, welcome to All Sides.
Thanks for having me, Mike.
Good to talk to you. Nana, let's start with you. Who or what is to blame for the confrontation this weekend?
Who is to blame?
Yeah.
First of all, the NAACP encourages protesting, but we do not condone breaking up and tearing down property in our city. I don't know who is to blame for this, because I believe the NAACP believes that those young people there did have a message. They wanted to be heard. And as seasoned citizens like Sam and I, we need to give our young people an opportunity to express themselves. And I want to just go to the police for a moment. I was down there Thursday. The police were very calm, were very nice. Then Friday, they became bad boys. And then Saturday, they became really bad boys. I think that we're going to have a conversation about establishing the Citizens Review Board. That is needed in this city. Everybody's talking about it now. We should have been talking about it before what took place over the weekend.
Sam Gresham, you've seen many of these protests. Is this one different? What you're seeing here in Columbus and what you're seeing in Minnesota, in Minneapolis, what you're seeing in Louisville, L.A., Washington, is this different than what we have seen in recent years?
Unequivocally, yes. And there are several factors that create that difference. I listened this morning. It's all over the world. It's in Germany. It's in other countries. all over the world. So people are discussing this. I also think there are some fundamental differences in this occasion. Now, I participated in the demonstration in the late 60s, and there were some structural issues that create problems that people don't really understand. If you organize a demonstration, you have a rapid response team, and that rapid response team is to deal with crazy people who are getting off the reservation. They go deal with that. When you do an organic demonstration, which just under its own volition, it creates things like this happen because it's not really planned the program. So I'd also say this, Mike.
Is this weekend, Sam, is this weekend organic or organized, combination of the two?
I think it's more organic than organized. Mm-hmm. See, when you hear organization, it would be Nana's organization, my organization, some church group that gives us credence and confidence. You don't hear those names, and if they are, they're not very well publicized. I have organized a lot of demonstrations in my life. But, Michael, let me go back to your point. Promises unfulfilled, benign neglect, the impediments to solving racial problems are now much more hard than they were a few years ago, primarily because of President Trump. You got all sorts of things happening where the biggest thing on this demonstration, one, it's a pandemic, and two, nobody's at school or anybody's at work. So we have young people, a pool of young people who have nothing to do, and they want to demonstrate. I have my grandkids in town from college, and the reason they're in town from college is that the pandemic has closed their school.
Yeah.
So you have a lot of students in this community who want to come down and just demonstrate. Now, you have troublemakers, and that's why when you structure a demonstration, you have that rapid response group. Let me say one more thing.
Sure.
I think Councilman Hardin is doing a wonderful thing. The only thing I will tell him, his commission will have no effect unless it has subpoena power. It must have subpoena power. And what that subpoena power does is make sure by law that the police have to come and testify and provide evidence. Without subpoena power, it doesn't mean anything. Now, go ahead, Mike. Ask your question.
No, that's all right. Passionate guy, Sam Gresham here from the Common Cause Ohio, former head of the Urban League, longtime African-American leader here in the city. Also, longtime leader Nana Watson, president of the Columbus chapter of the NAACP. Nana, I mean, what sparked...
I wanted to comment on what Sam said.
All right. Well, on what... Go ahead. Quickly, please. I have a question.
Oh,
go ahead.
About the Citizens Review Board. The NAACP, nationally, we will be calling for that, and we will be calling for subpoena power.
Mm-hmm. Are you confident it's going to happen this time? I mean, I was surprised by some of the comments that I saw from city council members. Shannon Hardin, we mentioned his earlier today. Rob Dorns, he had a series of tweets this weekend, heavily critical of the police department, urging folks to file a report with the Internal Affairs Division. And he basically says he has personally brought attention of some of the behavior of police to the mayor and asked him to direct the chief of police to stop this behavior to ensure those officers have violated people's rights are held to account. I sense a diff in Zach Klein. The city attorney also was critical of police. The mayor was critical of police, saying they were aggressive, was his word. But then he deleted that tweet. We don't know why. Nana Watson, are you confident that the political climate is changing in Columbus that would force a civilian review commission or more accountability?
I think the NAACP is going to force it. Mm-hmm. We're going to force them to make it happen. The FOP has to also be engaged in this. NAACP has tried to meet with the president of the FOP. No avail. He elects not to meet with us. That's problematic in itself. So to answer your question, they're going to have a lot of pressure applied to them. And the NAACP, we are going to do that all over this country.
We have asked the chief of police to come on. He was unavailable. We also put a request in to the Fraternal Order of Police to appear. They did. They have not. So to be fair, I'm going to read the statement from the president of the Fraternal
Order of Police, Keith Farrell. He writes, the officers from the Columbus Division of Police, as well as officers from all surrounding jurisdictions, have done an incredible job handling the riots over the last few days. He writes, while officers are bound to protect citizens and downtown property, city officials have made the situation much worse. City leadership had and still has the opportunity to help calm the situation and instead has created more tension, showing little, if any, concern for the impact on businesses and residents that are already suffering from recent shutdowns. He says the officers and citizens deserve better leadership in this community. The city attorney is reviewing arrests that have occurred in preceding days, and I hope this review also includes the violation of law by those bent on violence and the destruction of property. Sam Gresham, they are the minority of the protesters who caused the destruction. That's a given. But the destruction occurred, and the confrontations, the throwing of water bottles, rocks at police. How much does that hurt your cause when that happens?
It does hurt our cause. But, Mike, this too has a pattern. In the initial stages of demonstrations, civil rights, anti-war, there is support. Then when there's some violence, support withdraws. And then the focus becomes the violence, not the original issue that was laid out there. We move away from George Foster. We move away from the brutality and the treatment of people in our society. We don't deal with the systemic structural issues. We get lost in the violence. Now, that's two things. It's predicated on how the press reports it, and it's predicated on the types of things that happen. Now, with regards to, is this the last time? I hope. But, you know, the city officials don't determine whether this is the last time or not. The public determines whether this is the last time or not. If they are willing to accept what they get, that's what they get. Now, back in my day, what they said is an easy philosophy. There's some people who shook the trees and dropped the nuts. Then there were some other people who came along, picked up those nuts, and done something with them. We have to have the demonstration along with the constructive planning and programming. And God knows we have enough plans and programs. The conundrum here is, does the community, both black and white, allies and friends, are they ready to make a move to improve our committee? Are they willing to put the pressure on Shannon Hart and the mayor, the police chief, to change Columbus? And I'll say this as a closing part to this. Columbus has a better chance than any other city in the United States to overcome this issue. If we push, sacrifice, and make it happen.
Why do you say that, Sam? Why are we different? This is not a new problem. We've had these issues, and I think that the scope and the immediacy and the size of these demonstrations indicate a deep problem here that has lasted for years. What makes you so confident that this city, more than another city, can do this?
I lived in New York. I lived in Chicago. I lived in L.A. I visited Philadelphia. The deepness and the depth of poverty in this city is not as pervasive as it is in those cities. And in some cases, it hasn't been around that long. The African-American population in large numbers is a recent phenomenon in the city of Columbus. 40s and 50s, it was 3%, 5%, 6%. They still have problems. Mm-hmm. The other part of this is we have 18 colleges and universities within 15 miles of the city of Columbus. The resources of those colleges and universities bear on to that. The next element that we have is this is the seat of state government right here in Columbus. The legislators have no reason to say, I don't know what's going on. We need to make those changes. But the problem is the community has to insist in a very constructive and assertive way, this is what we want.
Sam Gresham, he is the board chairman of Common Cause Ohio. Also with us is Nana Watson, president of the Columbus chapter of the NAACP. Nana Watson, one more time on the imagery of these protests. I mean, when the imagery we saw first was of George Floyd
succumbing to the police officer in Minneapolis. Terrible, terrible video. Then there are protests, but soon the image that is sticking with us is of broken glass, fires, and tear gas, confrontations with police. How do we get back to the civil unrest, demonstration, and the anger over what happened to George Floyd?
I think racism is at the top. I think racism is at the top. NAACP's been marching for too long, and now we have to call for action. The glass will be picked up. The windows, they'll have new windows. The markings that are on our buildings downtown, they will go away. But racism is not going to go away until we hit it straight on. And that's by making people accountable, holding them accountable, and just speaking it out. You know, you can say racism, and then we have to ask the white population, you need to help in this, because partly it is your fault.
Are you encouraged by the number? There are a lot of white people in these demonstrations. In fact, white people that face criticism for being some of the folks who are damaging businesses. Nana Watson, are you encouraged by the diversity of the crowd that you're seeing downtown?
Was I encouraged? No, because I don't know where they came from. I guess it begs the question, who are the people? Where did they come from?
Where are they? I mean, what evidence do you have that
know.
These are not Columbus residents or Central Ohio area residents or college students, perhaps back from school? Because there's a lot of, I mean, the president said these are outside agitators. Well, I mean, if every city has outside agitators, then no one's home. What evidence do we have these are outside folks and not just people in Columbus who are fed up?
I don't have any evidence. Oh, go ahead, Sam.
No. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead. I don't want you to lose your thought.
And you know I'm old, so I got to hang on.
Sam doesn't lose his thought very often.
I think the problem becomes, this is the problem of the evolution of an organic demonstration. There are no goals. There are no objectives. There are not anything that's saying what we're trying to do. We're just pissed off. Now, the problem I have with that is this is when it moves into these tertiary issues that are not germane. It gets into the violence. It gets into where the people are from. Then it leaves the issue of structural discrimination, structural racism, disparities. It just moves away. Now, if you have an organization pushing this thing, they would have their messaging, they would have their people, and they would do their best to keep you focused on what the real issues are. This is one of the problems when you have organic demonstrations like that. I understand what people want to do. I know the emotion is high, but if you're going to do this, you need to do it that way. See how quickly we moved from whether the people are from Columbus, whether we got to the bottom. What about 400 years of disadvantage?
Yeah. We'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll get take your calls. If you want to join the conversation, our number is 614-292-8513. You can also email us at allsides@wosu.org. All Sides continues in a moment here on 89.7 NPR News. Welcome back to All Sides with Ann Fisher. I'm Mike Thompson, sitting in for Ann today. We are talking about the protest over the weekend, race relations here in the city of Columbus, of course, all following the death of George Floyd, the Minnesota man who died at the hands of police last week in Minneapolis. This weekend, hundreds of people converged on downtown starting Thursday night. The protest continued Friday, Saturday, Sunday, each night ending with tear gas and curfews and
and fires in some locations, and it's just in destroyed business fronts and arrests and a few injuries. Thankfully, no serious injuries or deaths that we've heard of right now. With us still is Nana Watson, president of the Columbus chapter of the NAACP, also Sam Gresham, longtime African-American leader in Columbus and now with Common Cause Ohio. Let's go to the phones. Mike and Canal Winchester, you're on the air on All Sides with Ann Fisher.
Go ahead. Thanks for having me on.
Yep.
I want to start off because my main comment, though, is talking about I think I had some insight in why police would be resistant to the Civilian Review Board. But to start off with, I want you to know that I, as a retired police officer, there's going to be only a handful of officers working right now that aren't very empathetic to what's going on as far as the protesters and with their cause, especially seeing the type of actions that are highlighted in the in-custody deaths that we've seen around the nation. We have a very professional group of officers in Central Ohio, and that sort of thing is very sickening. You don't really see that in Columbus. They're not perfect. Mm-hmm. They weren't perfect when I was working. But that sort of thing is the anomaly as opposed to endemic.
But how do we get the anomaly to go away? And you say a civilian review board is not the answer?
Well, no, I didn't say it's not the answer. I think in reality, it would be good to have some sort of civilian review in the mix, maybe reviewing the review after the fact, make sure that the supervision is the process is still working. The rank and file officers right now don't really even trust their supervisors in reviewing their actions. I retired as a sergeant. One of my jobs was reviewing use of force, making sure the arrests were proper. My duty as a sergeant was I had to look at the situation based on what information the officer knew at the time of the incident. I have the ability of 20/20 hindsight looking at it through the totality, and I'm not supposed to take that into account. More often than not, though, the further the review goes up the chain of command, the more likely when all the details of the incident come about, that is used against the officer, which is really not fair because if the officer has only a split second to decide and all the armchair quarterbacks have, months to look over everything.
All right. Mike, I want to get some reaction to that, but thanks for the call, Mike. I appreciate it. Sam Gresham, your reaction to what Mike said.
I'll agree with Mike to this extent. It's a cultural issue within the community and the police department. I think there are certain types of people who go and join the police department, and over their experience over time determines on how they behave, based on also their training. What type of training? Is it escalate, de-escalate? Do we require a college degree? And I'm beginning to believe you should have a college degree in order to be a police officer, because you can be judge, jury, and executioner in 30 seconds. We shouldn't give that many people that type of power. Now, if you go further, the other part of the culture is the power in the city of Columbus, what they want to see and project to the world about Columbus. They hide stuff. They don't want to deal with the truth in regards to what's going on in this city. The final element is our elected officials. Do they respond to the needs of the people of Columbus? This thing has been going on in my involvement since 1987, and it crescendoed in 2000 when the Department of Justice came down to Columbus, wrote a big report, and said, these are all the things that we're going to do, you need to do, or unless we're taking you to court. Yeah. I mean, all those things have occurred. Now, I will tell you, power yields nothing without a demand, and nothing will change unless people want it to change, because they'll just put it right back under the rug again. Because the elected officials don't want things to happen on their watch.
Nana Watson,
good or bad.
Nana Watson, let me ask you about the Civilian Review Commission, which a lot of people are asking for. You're calling for it. Many cities have it. But I would argue we do have civilian review now. We have a mayor. We have a city council. They're not members of the police department. They're elected officials. We have an independent Franklin County prosecutor. Police cases go to a grand jury, which are made up of citizens. And then ultimately, if a case goes before trial, that it's a citizen jury that decides them. Why is that system not working, that citizen review system that I just laid out? Why is that not working?
Well, it's not comprised of the community. I think what they do is good. That's their job. But it begs the question for the NAACP. We need people in the community. It's happening in the community. We need to have community people look at excessive force. What types of reprimands are the police officers getting? All of that.
And by community, you mean a more diverse pool of people looking at this?
Community, yes. Not the elected officials, not the prosecutor, none of those. Community, Citizens Review Board. And I think this city's been trying to have one, I believe, for 30-plus years. And, Sam, I don't know if you recall that, because you're much older than I am, but I know that that's a little pun money. I think we've been working on this, and at what point are we going to see it? At just when are we going to see it?
Nana, you are absolutely right. The problem, again, is the community hasn't been pushing and fighting for that. Now, Mike, you asked a question, which is very important. That question is, when are we going to get change? There are two parts of this equation. The first part is white people got to give up some privilege. Let me say that again. White people has got to give up some privilege. And black folks have to be assertive about what they want. Columbus tends to have a passive, assertive nature, hoping that people can intuitively read their mind, not pushing forward. This is my program. This is my agenda. This is what we all agree on. Let's move forward with that agenda. The other aspect of...
Sam, let me stop you there. When you say white people have to give up privilege, what do you mean? What privilege should white people have to give up or will have to give up?
You can't have all the jobs. You can't have all the money. You can't have all the nice neighborhoods. Mm-hmm. I mean, much more fundamental. You can't have all the best educational system. We all have to participate in this thing. And, Mike, there's a crescendo coming in 2045 and 2050. That is, the white folks will no longer be the minority. The majority in this country. If you look at the data now and you look at public schools, all public schools, the dominant characteristics of those kids in those schools are black and brown. That means that the future workforce, the future leadership, everything in this country is going to have a color. And you see that on television now. The network and the people who want you to buy product have already capitulated. Watch those commercials, you see black and white people, mixed people, white people together. They've already capitulated because they know what's coming.
And they know that the young consumers, even young consumers, white consumers, value diversity and want to see their companies that they support value diversity. I want to get to the phone calls here. We've got a couple waiting. We'll try to get to as many as we can. Natalie, you're on the air on 89.7 NPR News.
Hi. Thanks for having me on today. Can you hear me?
Yes. Go ahead, Natalie.
Okay. So my heart is just completely broken, as is many others, in the case of George Floyd, and I just cannot seem to move past this. And I'm feeling this heavy need as a white woman, this calling to help and to do something to stop this systemic racism. But I just have no idea where to start and what I can do to help. And I was just hoping that you could provide some insight of some things that me, my peers, my family members could do to help with this movement. Thank you.
Thank you. Nana Watson, I'll let you have that one.
Well, certainly, thank you for wanting to help. For the NAACP, and I think Sam mentioned it a few minutes ago, you have got to educate your race about what's going on, racist behavior. It's time to correct behavior. You have bad behavior, and somebody's got to help correct. Now, NAACP is going to help.
is going to help correct.
The resistance of police unions to discipline police officers, even police officers who appear to have done very, very bad things. I mean, granted, it's a small minority of officers. I think we can agree on that. But it's sort of like any activist on the far right or far left, you know, any infringement on gun rights jeopardizes all gun rights. Any infringement on free speech jeopardizes all free speech. Any action against an officer is seen as being anti-cop. Sam, how do we fix that?
Well, Mike, I tried to deal with that. I had a conversation about 5 years ago with black police officers, and I asked them about this wall of blue. That means when something happens, all the police officers just get together, whether it's right or wrong, and support the idea of whatever the police officer did was the right thing. And what they tell me is it's a part of the culture. And if you speak up against that culture, and there was a black female lieutenant in the Columbus Police Department who spoke up against that culture and the type of things, then they attack you. They deal with your credibility. They don't come to your rescue when the call comes for Officer Downs and it's you who the officer is. They take a little longer to get there. Mike, I think fundamentally, and that's why I couch it as culture, the culture has to change. White people have to understand that they are wrong and that they benefit from those wrongs. See, it's not altruism or some fortuitous mistake that black folk are oppressed. They don't want black folk to have political power, economic power. They don't want, and Mike, and I don't mean this in the majority. I want you to clearly understand.
Oh, no, we know what you're saying.
There are structural leaders who sit there. Because I've gone down to testify before those committees. I've had private meetings with legislators. And they basically tell you, we ain't going to do what you want to do because we have the vote. And I say to that, I understand that. But that's a culture, Mike. That's how people feel. That's how they operate. And you have to attack this culture of acceptance of disadvantage.
Nana Watson from the NAACP, the Columbus chapter. Have you spoken to the mayor during this weekend and expressed your concerns to him? And what reaction have you gotten from Andrew Ginther? I ask that because he had a tweet. He seemed sympathetic to the plight of the protesters, called police aggressive, but then he deleted it, seemingly backing away from his statement. Have you talked to him, and what is his position on this?
I have not spoken with Mayor Ginther. I have spoken with his staff. I had sent a message that the NAACP wants the police officers to stand down when they were, I believe, out of control the other night. I have not spoken with him. I don't know why he deleted it. But I want to say this about the FOP. They tweeted out that the police officers weren't being strong enough. Now, what does that mean? What does that really mean? That's not a statement that certainly we expect to hear from the FOP, or maybe we do expect. And then the other question, where do our police officers live? They keep talking about the police officers are so concerned for the community. What community? Our community or their community? Because there is a divide now.
How about increasing diversity in the ranks, Nana Watson? It's been difficult. Do African Americans want to serve on the police force? And how do we increase that diversity?
Well, I've tried to encourage young black men and women to serve on the police force. They don't seem to have an interest. I think that they don't see the police as nice people, and I don't believe they want to be a part of that. I know that we want to assist the city in recruiting black officers. I don't know how well that's going to go. They've had problems for a long time in recruiting black people.
Sam Gresham, just 30 seconds left. What's the key to increasing diversity on the force? Because that could help.
It could help, but it's not going to come in the long run because of the perception of the police department and its relationship with the African-American community. I've really tried to work on that. But, Mike, in the final essence, as we close this up, it's not going to change until this community wants this to change. And a part of that is we have to have white allies and friends sit down with black leaders and say, what do we want this community to be? And put six things on a piece of paper and go to work at it.
All right. Thanks, Sam Gresham, Common Cause Ohio, Nana Watson from the Columbus chapter of the NAACP. Let's hope that those discussions happen and we can find a solution to this problem that never seems to go away and boils up every once in a while. This is 89.7 NPR News, your all-day NPR news station.